This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. World Series last night. It's all about mistakes, right? Most times, like, you know, we're talking about the game on Saturday, Penn State and Ohio State. Most of the time, the team that makes the fewest mistakes plays mistake-free football, for the most part, wins the game. It's not perfect, but for the most part. The Yankees did a lot of good things last night, and every person that did something well last night also did something wrong. And that's what's so crazy about last night's game. Gerrit Cole was, Todd, he was outstanding. He really was, except for the fifth inning. But as well as he pitched through seven, and Aaron Boone did the right thing, he left him in. As well as he pitched through seven, who failed to cover first base? He did. What's the first thing pitchers do in spring training when they get to defensive drills? Over and over and over. Cover first base, cover first base. And he's done it his entire career. To not do it then? Whew. Big one. Did you watch the whole game last night?
No, I had basketball practice and then I was on desk. I had it on the background. I was listening to it, but I wasn't paying close attention.
I did see the
Aaron Judge drop, though.
Oh. Again, so now there's another case. He finally breaks out with the bat with a home run that went over 400 feet. Later in the game, by the way, he scorched the double. He also made a great catch slamming into the wall. But he dropped as easy a fly ball as you're going to get. I mean, the degree of difficulty on the catch was less than one. I mean, see, that's the killer part. The Volpe error, look, it's a momentum play. So he goes into the hole, he dives to his right, and he tries to make a play at third. Okay? That's just an effort play. It's a hard play. It's an error, but it's a hard play. Right? And Jazz Chisholm, there's not much he can do either. But that game, you know, catcher's interference. And Ohtani's bat did hit the glove. It hit the glove. That game was all about mistakes last night.
I think I saw somebody say the only thing it didn't have was a balk.
You know, there was a balk.
Oh, there was a balk. He must have said it before that happened.
No, yeah, because Luke Weaver threw over to first base twice. Right? Well, you're allowed to throw over a third time, but you have to get them. And he threw over to first, but like he kind of turned to go, I do have to throw it. It's a balk. Well, it didn't matter if you throw it, sport. It's the third time over. It is a balk, no matter what you do. Right? So he throws it over, and he lobbed it over. And it ended up being a balk. He went to second base. I think it was Chris Taylor. I mean, mentally, like, this is the mental side of it. You throw over the first or third time and you lob it over, you've made a mental mistake. You don't cover first base on something that has been hammered into you since you were in high school, mental mistake. Fly ball to center field, that's an easy, I mean, I'm talking easy. Like, it's not a degree of difficulty, it's like marginal. Mental mistake. But what has consistently cost the Yankees for years? There have been two things for years that have been constant that have held them back. One is they are a mediocre base running team. And number two, they are a mediocre defensive team. And okay, the base running part didn't come into play last night, but the defense did.
They were sloppy in all three rounds. It was it's kind of amazing that they were able to kind of get away with it for that long.
Well, because they look, let's be honest, they have more talent than the teams they face. When the Orioles got eliminated, as I said going into the playoffs, that the Orioles were the only team that had any shot to beat the Yankees because they're the only team that had comparable talent. The problem is the Orioles lineup was so banged up. They couldn't get past Kansas City. The second Kansas City got through them, as I said in the show, the Yankees had a boom, free lane into the World Series. Cleveland's good, but not good enough. The Royals are improving, but not good enough. The Yankees have more talent. And even with Judge being subpar, which he was against Kansas City, even with Judge being subpar, which he was against Cleveland, they still have more talent than one. And last night, boy, you want to talk about, if I were to tell you before the game that Judge would homer, Judge would double, he'd make a great catch in the outfield, that Stanton would homer, that Chisholm would homer, and Cole would pitch seven innings and not give up an earned run. What's your thought?
We have a game six tomorrow night.
Yeah. And guess what? All that did happen. Except, Judge dropped a ball that led to a big inning. Cole failed to cover first base, which kept the inning rolling for a big inning. Stanton late in the game did nothing. Right? Soto really didn't do much of anything last night.
And now there's a World Series parade in Los Angeles tomorrow.
Right. So now let's talk about the champions. When they needed Freddie Freeman, who had been hurt, to step up, Freddie Freeman was phenomenal. Earned his MVP. Mookie Betts was great. Right? They needed a fly ball to get in a run. He hits the fly ball. Defensively, he's a wizard out there. Angles, making plays. They've got good, solid role players on this team. Tommy Edman was a great pickup from the Cardinals. Obviously, personally, I'm thrilled for him. You're not going to meet a nicer guy than Tommy. I mean, he was here all summer with the Spikes in 2016 when they won the New York Penn League Championship. Tyler Glass now also gets a ring because even though he's on IL, he ends up getting a ring for them too. Another former Spike. Max Muncy is a really good role player for them. Gavin Lux, who was a great prospect, has had injuries, but he hangs in there. Teoscar Hernandez was a big plus for them. Getting him into the lineup got more power into that lineup for the Dodgers. Otani's Otani. He didn't have a great World Series, but he also played hurt, too. But they're pitching. Like, the Dodgers were hurt by the fact Glasnow couldn't pitch, out. They didn't have May all season, out. Right? Every time they turned around, they had an injury to deal with in the pitching staff. You got to give Dave Roberts credit. They overcame a lot of that. And to use Walker Buehler to close out, Tom Verducci, great job by him outlining the history of starters closing. going all the way back to Walter Johnson 100 years ago with the then Washington Senators. And all the way up to present day with Chris Sale closing out for the Red Sox out in Los Angeles. But that's Tom. Tom knows, you know, Tom knows his stuff. He's ready for all that stuff. Good Penn State guy. And this is this, you know, the Dodgers spent a lot of money on Ohtani, Yamamoto. They made the deal to get Betts, which to this day will be mystifying to me. My exact words the day they made the trade was, this is the Babe Ruth trade of the 21st century. But can't do anything about it now. I'm not in charge. Somebody else is. And Bueller is, by the way, a free agent. He's had Tommy. Was he at Tommy John twice?
I think he just had it recently, and I think he had it in college, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but the guy can pitch. And the difference between Bueller in the postseason and Bueller in the regular season is that he finally harnessed his pitches and had control. That was the big part of it.
You know, with Tommy John, I just wonder if he wasn't fully, I guess, healthy is not the right word, because he wouldn't have been pitching if he wasn't healthy, but it takes a lot to get your, you know, it's something I not have. I guess it would be athletic awareness of your body, and I just wonder if he wasn't fully confident until those, you know, after that San Diego game, because what was it? It was that San Diego game where he didn't have any swing and misses on his pitches, but after that game, he's been dominant.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Flaherty gave him one good game. Remember, he was going to go to the Yankees, and he failed the physical. Yamamoto, when they needed him, he was good. After really what was a wild regular season for him. And their bullpen did the job. And I thought Dave Roberts should get a lot of credit for how he managed the bullpen, because he has a bullpen day, but he made sure certain guys were available for Game 5. Smart. I know that there will be people that have a lot of criticism for Aaron Boone. I'm not so sure what he could have done. As soon as you can explain to me what he should have done, then we'll talk about it. Because I don't know if people know. I mean, I don't really know what else he could have done. He left Cole in through 7. That was smart.
I think their argument is he's not a disciplinarian, and a disciplinarian, the Yankees would be at a higher level mentally, and they wouldn't make the mistakes they made last night.
You know what? I don't know.
I'm sure we'll get into it Tuesday.
I mean, I'm not around that. I mean, yeah. In other words, I'm not around it to know what it's like. I mean, for some odd reason, guys like Rizzo and Judge and Volpe, and those, they don't, I mean, Judge and Rizzo in particular don't seem like guys that need a disciplinarian. I don't know. Again, I don't know what moves he could have made. Again, so when you bring somebody in, Tommy Canley's pitched pretty well for them, okay? He comes in, he has nothing. What do you think? Aaron Boone sitting there is like, I know he doesn't have anything, but put him in. No, he's been pitching well for him. So, he put him in, and guess what? He had to face 3 batters, and he had nothing. Well, Aaron Boone's not going to know he doesn't have anything until he sees him out there and goes, oh, geez. And look, and everybody knows, I'm not the biggest Aaron Boone guy from day one. So, I mean, you know, so I've been critical of him over the years as to how he's handled certain things, certain situations. If I watched the World Series, I didn't think he was out there making bad moves. I just didn't. Somebody would have to tell me what move they would have made. I mean, when you make a move, you expect somebody to come through for you. Well, their guys weren't coming through for them. I mean, Weaver's been, I know it's the first time in his life he's pitched three games in a row. I understand that. But it's inexplicable that you throw over to first base a third time. You know what the rules are. And not only that, you soft toss it over. It's a balk. Now, if you're throwing over because you're really trying to pick him off, yeah, but he wasn't even trying to pick him off. He threw it over there. In other words, his brain had a lapse.
I was going to say his brain had the lapse until he was starting to throw, and then he realized, uh-oh.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you watch that game, it's just littered with mental mistakes, and the Dodgers weren't making any of them. They ran the bases well. When they needed sack flies, they got sack flies. Need to move runners, they move runners. I don't know. And then the Yankees flat out made mistakes. I mean, and not little ones, big ones.
Now I guess their biggest question is can they sign Soto in the offseason?
Soto will go to the highest bidder.
Yeah, he's a Boris guy, and he gave the pure Boris quote last night, too. So,
yep. I mean, he will go to the highest bidder. And the Yankees will certainly be in the competition for that because guess what? They have the ability to be the highest bidder for anybody. But then again, so do the Mets.
All right. I was just thinking,
so do
come
the Dodgers.
On, Steve.
Yeah, so the Dodgers. Okay. I know it's interesting when you look at the players the last few years where there's been heavy competition for the player, what team is always in there to the end and doesn't get there? It's the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, I was going to say the Giants.
Right? And there's a couple things that I think are involved in this. First of all, have you ever been to the ballpark?
No.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Oh, that is a great, great looking ballpark. But they've got a couple of things that at the moment, to me, are working against them. One is, there is no question, for decades, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, San Francisco. But we all know of late, they've had issues. Anybody with common sense knows that. Right? They've had issues. Number two, and this is the part that I always find interesting because, I mean, I know that a lot of stars are attracted to go to Los Angeles and so forth. But let's be honest about it. This is not being political here. It's not being political. Why do athletes, so many live in Texas? Why do so many live in Florida? And I think Tennessee falls into this category, too.
Lack of state taxes.
Yes. And that's a big part of this. Where you go out there, say you want to sign with the Giants, how much money are you losing in state taxation? I mean, things that you have to think of when you're doing this. I mean, there's a lot. Oh no, that's just that's not being political. It's a fact of life. There are two reasons why golfers live down in Florida and Mass. Number one, it's warm with tons of golf courses. Number two, there's no state income tax. We're talking about announcers. We just have Brad Nessler on. Well, Dave O'Brien, who does the Red Sox, where does Dave live? Dave lives in New Hampshire. Why does Dave live in New Hampshire? Because guess what? There's no state income tax. I mean, so there are reasons why certain guys go certain places and avoid other places, and that's why, I mean, I know they're making a ton of money to begin with. But there are people that want to, quote, maximize their money. Everybody wants to maximize their money. Now, the suit does that by, not ever spending it.
Bake sales.
Oh, bake sales. Oh. Imagine a suit bake sale. Oh, mercy me. Oh. But, I mean, that's a reason. I think Tennessee, is Tennessee in that boat, too?
That I cannot answer. That is for our agents to answer.
Because there are a lot of people living in Tennessee now. Let me just see. Just for the heck of it. Because, I mean, we have a lot, of course.
I do know that's where a pile of musicians have moved.
Yeah, a lot of them. Let me see.
I was going to say, you want to meet a rock star in his 50s or 60s, that's probably the best place to go.
Yeah. Do Tennessee residents pay? What is the Tennessee income tax? Income tax is generally levied. Tennessee is one of several states that does not levy a state-level income tax on personal income. Business income and real estate taxes, as well as sales taxes, are levied in Tennessee. So there's no state income tax. Because you notice a lot of people have been moving there, right? And you talked about musicians, right? Nashville, everything like that.
Yeah.
But I know, for example, Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk lives down in Tennessee, you know. So.
I think people are more concerned about where Ben lives now than they are concerned about where Kurt lives.
Yes, but Ben doesn't have to pay the state income tax.
Well, that's true.
So if you're wondering why certain people live in certain places and who has a disadvantage as a franchise, that is one of the factors that does come into play. Not for everybody. Not for everybody. But it's like, if you're asking why San Francisco keeps getting close on these guys and doesn't quite close the deal, not all the factors fall into play, but that is one of them to at least think about. All right, we'll take a break. Final half hour in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Birdie Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. By the way, Quick Lane's great. But inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. America gets subjected to the Jets again tonight. Oh. They go with the Jets and the Texans tonight? Haven't we suffered enough?
They were apparently more all in on almost as all in as the Jets were on Aaron Rodgers this year.
But I said when they put the schedule out.
Yeah.
What did I say, Todd? It was a mistake to put on so many Jets games. On the national, like Monday, Sunday. I mean Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. I said it's a mistake. I said they're not good. And guess what? They're not good.
No. No, and the thing is I think people thought the defense would be better too, and he's not been great, but he's been good, but the defense has been more of the problem the offense has.
They have a multitude of problems.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit are going to have to spend the entire time, and they're going to need the entire time to outline all their problems tonight against an up-and-coming team in Houston. Let's give them credit. They went out with a plan in the draft 2 years ago, and they got what they needed. You know? And not only, you look at not just Stroud, but Will Anderson, but also getting a guy like Juice Scruggs to be their center. Like, there's always those down-the-line draft picks that pay off. Houston got the down-the-line draft picks to pay off. That's big. That's just so big when you can get the down-the-line picks. Remember the great drafts the Steelers had in the 70s? Well, the great drafts they had in the 70s included the third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. It's really amazing if your ability to spot talent. We already have our first Major League Baseball trade. Jorge Soler goes to the Angels from the Braves for right-hander Griffin Canning. Solar's 32, hit 241 this year, 21 home runs, 64 knocked in. Canning at a 5.19 ERA. I can see why they made the trade. All right, so.
You know the Braves. I'm sure the Braves saw something they think they can fix.
You got that right. Usually they can. It's Halloween. So, what is your daughter going out as tonight?
Ennui from Inside Out 2. Boredom.
Okay. No, it's the theme of this show. Great.
She's all purple.
She's all purple tonight.
Yeah. She would be today for school, too, but she had gym, so she wasn't wearing purple socks over her sneakers.
You know what? The kids here don't have school today or tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the Pat McAfee day off for the West Virginia Penn State game.
No. It's like they put this ahead of time. It's because of the Halloween, whatever. I don't know. They sit there and go, I don't know. So, I don't know. But yeah, they don't have school. I will get back. Probably get to my house maybe. I don't know, 20 after 7 or something like that tonight. Because after the talk show's over with, that's when James and I tape the pregame show. Just easier for both of us to do it now. I mean, what's going to change between now and tomorrow? I mean, it's not like I've ever seen something change on a Friday, because I have. But the reality is it would be probably something we wouldn't talk about anyway. Right? So we always tape it after the show's over with. And Jack Ham's on the show tonight. Jack will be on at 6:05 to 6:30, and then James will be on 6:30 to 7 tonight. Talk about the game. We think it's a good lineup.
Sounds decent.
Yeah.
Squeeze in that Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah. What does he know? Other than, like, everything. The first question is going to be from the audience tonight. He said, how does it feel to carry that guy for 25 years? Jack will go, I try. Oh, well. What a partnership that's been, huh? Who is the guest coach on the radio tonight? I just said Jack Ham. Can't wait for this reaction. Like, oh, suddenly out of nowhere, here we go.
It wasn't Jack Ham, was it?
There is no guest coach tonight. So, right? I mean, James, obviously, but she was asking about the first half hour.
Let's see. So I was hoping it wasn't Jack asking about the first half hour.
No.
It's you.
No, I'm going to see Jack here in about an hour and a half anyway, before practice. We always meet before practice and then talk for a while.
Everybody's in town by now too, right? Like game day and all that stuff?
I guess. They were setting up the respective sets. It looks like everything's going to be around the Jordan Center. It was usually the last few years... game day when they were here set up on the old main lawn. Big Noon is always set up at the Jordan Center. Now it looks to me, based on what because I went into basketball practice yesterday before I went over to football, and it looked to me like both sets were, one was on one side of the Jordan Center, the other was on the other side.
So. I don't understand why they'd, I guess it's not that close, but.
Well, okay. With the game kicking at noon here, I think if the game kicked later in the day, they would be on the old main lawn.
Oh, I guess they got to get into the press box, huh?
Right. Well, no. I mean, well, we got Herb Street. I don't know which game Kirk's doing. Is he doing a night game?
Yeah, that's probably true.
But, like, the rest of them, I'm talking about the fans. I mean, it gets to be noon. There's going to be nobody out there with them.
Well, that's true.
Except for the people not going into the game. See, that's one of the issues. That's why I think, let's do it at the Jordan Center. That way people can stay as long as possible. See, that, because the show goes to noon.
It's a couple weeks ago. Were they in Washington a couple weeks ago?
They were in...
Game day,
they were in Oregon.
I was going to say, game day was on the West Coast. Did you see?
Yeah, it was Oregon for the Oregon Ohio State game, and Kirk had to go to Dallas for the game in the Cotton Bowl between Oklahoma and Texas. So they put him on a plane.
Well, did you see they were trying to interview him when he was driving to the plane, where he was in the convertible?
Now that I didn't see.
They had a cameraman driving next to the convertible while they were trying to interview him, and he couldn't hear. I think they tried for 30 seconds and then they just gave up. It was an idea that sounded good in theory, but was not great in execution.
Yeah, I'm sure that when they sat down and said, this is what we're going to do, this is great. And then it happens, this is bad.
I don't think you'll ever see them try it again.
No, gone.
I don't think they took into account how much wind there is in a convertible at 65 miles an hour on the highway.
Yeah, that common sense would dictate you should know that. But that's under the category of common sense.
We're talking about a group of people that haven't picked a kickoff time for next week yet.
Yep. Well, they have. ESPN has.
Well, ESPN has. That's true. They have.
No, ESPN has picked their kickoff. They know they're doing LSU-Alabama and Baton Rouge next Saturday night. Their kickoffs are done, I think. Now, I don't know if they have the kickoff set for the Big 12 and others. So, yeah.
What's the Big 10 game they're deciding with?
I don't know.
I mean...
I didn't look. I've sort of been just thinking about this game. I haven't really thought too much about next week yet. I mean, I had somebody request tickets from me that's a relative. Well, I already took care of her. So that I took care of that last month. I'm taking care of nobody else the rest of the way here. It's like, I'm sorry. All right, allow me to do what I need to do. But yeah, because I've got the game Saturday. I have a game Monday too.
That's the thing that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around is that college basketball is starting already Monday.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do football Saturday, basketball Monday, basketball Friday, then football Saturday. Then I'll do basketball Tuesday, the 12th, football Saturday, the 16th, basketball the 20th, football the 23rd at Minnesota, basketball the 25th and 26th in Daytona, football on the 30th, and basketball on December 1st. So that's what I have between now and December 1. So I have to do 7 basketball games and 5 football games between now and December 1.
Oh, it's fun.
Oh, it's
but
fun.
It's a lot.
That's bully. It's not that taxing, for goodness sakes. Do you, by the way, dress up yourself for Halloween?
No.
No, good. You're normal.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
I always tell my daughter I'm dressed as a sports reporter.
Yeah.
I'm not usually home on Halloween night. I pop in to do trick-or-treating and pop back out.
Well, like I said, I will get back and I'll be here for the last maybe 35, 40 minutes. Now, when they're done going around the neighborhood, the grandchildren will come over, so we'll have five of them over here in their costumes. I went out. I did a survey over the past month as to what their favorite candy bars are. And I went out and got the extra large versions. Why? I'm the grandfather. I can do that.
I was just going to say, and then you're also sending them home as well.
Oh, no, yes, exactly right. No need for me to deal with it. The consequences. But I can go out and do that. Why? I'm the grandfather.
That is exactly what you're supposed to do.
It's like, you do all those things like, geez, Dad, I wish you wouldn't do that. What? I'm only living once.
Do you get the, you didn't let us do that when we were younger?
I've had that a couple times.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I was always pretty good. I was actually, for the most part, pretty, I don't know, free and easy to, you know. There are times I had to be told to discipline them. You need to talk to them. I always say, well, geez, I'm not mad at them. Then I'd have to go in. I'll freely admit, there have been times that I've spoken to them harshly, and I had to fake it because... You have to tell them. All right, okay. Because, you know, whatever happened, I wasn't there when it happened. So I'm not mad at them. Like, all right.
I usually fall in the same realm as well.
Like, okay. So, yes, there have been a couple of faux yells. Like, when I was done, they go like, okay, I got that over with. But I'm the one that has the deeper voice. It sounds more authoritative. Hey, get over here. You know, it's like, it's okay, I can't. And it was always like, they always said, well, we don't want to get Dad mad. I'm like, okay.
Sure. Like,
but then you ask them about it, and they'll all tell you the same thing. Never really got mad a lot, did you? I said a couple of times, I said I was faux mad. They got... We thought so. That's just, I don't know. But because of her, they turned out great. So it's not because of me. All right, we'll take a break. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewer's Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Home field advantage, which you want. I mean, you worked your backside off all season at home field advantage. I think it's, what, only seven times in the last 29 years that a team has celebrated the World Series on their own field? How about that? And the most bizarre of all was 2019 with Washington and Houston played and neither team won a home game. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. While we were at break, Bob Costas is going to retire from baseball play-by-play, he said.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so am I, actually.
You know, sorry to hear that. Bob Costas has a passion and a feel for the sport that is unparalleled. So, how about that? I know that there are younger people that criticize him, but I don't think they understand how good he is.
I think part of it is the new breed of play-by-play is more loud, more demonstrative, and kind of more homerish than he is. And I think that's part of the issue the younger people have with him.
Yeah. First of all, I think Joe Davis is really good. And Joe Davis is a good guy. I like Joe because he's done a lot of BTN games, so I've got a chance to talk to him a few times. He's just a very down-to-earth, no-ego guy. Bob Costas, I'm sorry to hear that. Bob Costas is he's legendary for a reason. He's legendary for many reasons. And when it comes to baseball, his knowledge, his feel for the game is impeccable. Yeah. And to me, knowledge and feel for the game are two things that you either have or you don't. Many don't have it. He does.
Still miss those Saturday afternoon game of the weeks on NBC, man.
Yeah, he was with Tony Kubek for a long time. They were good.
That's the only time you got to hear Joe Garagiola around here, too.
Yeah, true. All right. That wraps it up. Back tomorrow.
I think there's a big game this week.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll get ready.
All right.